All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Last week, over 75 ethical enthusiasts gathered in San Francisco for Good Together Live, an event where we brought this podcast into the real world by hosting two panels with industry experts, influencers, and founders. We heard a climate reality talk from Alex Shadrow of ReLove, who's actually going to be our next podcast guest. Stay tuned. And we also had two amazing panel conversations about how to live with less waste and also how influencers transitioned from fast to slow fashion. We then finished the day with a live podcast recording, which you're about to listen to. And then we talked about a mindful networking activity. People divided up into groups organized around different life areas that they wanted to be more sustainable with. I actually had a fun time chatting with the arts and crafts group myself about all things DIY. But really one of the most impactful moments for me of the day was when we asked the audience why they were attending the event. And a woman of the baby boomer age stood up and told us that she personally felt responsible for her generation's lack of sustainability related practices. And to be fair, there was an extreme lack of knowledge about the space at the time, so I told her not to be so hard on herself. But she really wanted to do something about it. So that's why she was at the event, and that's why she's a podcast listener. So this was really impactful for me personally to hear, and I know Lisa feels the same way, because I don't know about you, but I feel like there's a new hit piece out on millennials versus baby boomers every day. And really, in order for the world to change, we all have to come together regardless of our generation. So I was extremely humbled by all of the wonderful feedback and awesome vibes that were being put off by the room during the day. It was a wonderful event. It was our first event, and there's more to come. So do you want? Let us know if you want to see us in your city by sending us an email to podcast@brightly.eco or chat with us on Instagram or in our Facebook group. Today's episode, recorded live at our event, is the first of a few pieces we're going to be putting out about the holiday season. I don't know about you, but the holidays bring out a special kind of madness for myself and my family. And society really imprints this narrative of excess and indulgence on us all. There's nothing the matter with celebrating with your loved ones. I personally love the holidays, but if you're looking to lead a more minimalist lifestyle, or if you want to be more conscious about how you're celebrating this year, it can be a challenge. So we'll get into Halloween candy, Thanksgiving turkeys, Christmas gifts, and more. So enjoy. Okay, welcome to the first episode of Good Together that's been recorded live.
Yay!
Thank you for joining us. So like we said at the beginning of this event, which is being recorded live from San Francisco, Lisa and I created this event so that we could bring the goodness of the podcast to you in person. So we're excited for this to be an interactive experience. So Lisa and I have a few things that we'd like to get through related to shopping ethically for the holidays and actually living ethically in general. But then we'll have some question and answers. We're just happy to dive into it. Of course, she and I do this super casually. We got our mimosas here, you know, just kind of how it goes
no pressure.
In record. Great. So yeah, I'll go ahead and get us started. Yep. And so fun fact, guys, when we record these, for the podcast, we usually sit down with all of our notes. We like to be very research heavy. So today we're really excited to talk about how to enjoy the holidays ethically. And I think this is a topic that's very near and dear to both Lisa and I. We feel like holidays in general equate to a lot of expectations, a lot of craziness, a lot of, just drama and, just lots of excess, right? Like, I think excess might be the word for it.
Yeah, especially as being a founder of like a consumer retail brand, holidays is always very exciting time of the year, very stressful too. So I think this is why we wanted to talk about all of the aspects that come with holidays, not just the fun ones, but also maybe the stressful ones.
For sure. Yeah, and the joke, you know, in the industry is Q4. You never see anyone after Q4, during Q4, and your family usually knows. People in the audience, they're laughing, they know. Okay, so let's get started. So I hate to be that person, but I'm going to be that person. It is actually only 73 days until Christmas, and only 71 days until Hanukkah starts. And of course, Halloween is right around the corner in a few very short weeks here. And we've got Thanksgiving. So I think once fall starts to roll around, the leaves start turning, like, forget it.
It's holidays, it's pumpkin everything, it's shopping.
Yeah.
And do you want to start with Halloween since it's the first one coming in less like 2 weeks?
Yeah, let's start talking about Halloween. So I think, one point that's actually even more applicable than to just Halloween is traditions. So let's start with that. So holidays are full of traditions, whether we are getting dressed in our Halloween costumes, whether we feel the need to go to Costco and buy an epic size bag of candy to hand out to the neighborhood kids. If we think to Thanksgiving, everybody expects that turkey. What happens if you're a vegan? Like, what should you do there? That's something we'll talk about in a little bit.
You have to feed everyone to extreme.
Yes.
The time
it's not
of
just
extremes.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just like roll out of there, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds like a TikTok meme. But yeah, I feel like just in general, for most people, regardless if you are, you know, trying to have a specific diet or you're trying to have a different lifestyle, like a minimalist lifestyle where you want to consume less or even gift less, you always are going to be faced with that awkward conversation with your family member, as you sit around the table, right? It also depends on, of course, what home means to you. I'm from Texas originally, so, every time I get home, everybody asks me what all this crazy California stuff I'm doing is. So that's just one thing. But, you know, and of course, Lisa, you know, you're not originally from the States, and so I'm sure this is an evolving state for you, of course.
Yeah, so I'm learning throughout the years of all the American traditions and, you know, what Christmas means in the U.S. or Halloween, things like that. So it's definitely been a learning experience, and now I want to learn how to make holidays more sustainable.
Exactly. And so, yeah, the first thing we want to talk about is the expectation around what to wear. So I love that we had in panels earlier, we talked a little bit about renting outfits, and I think it just depends on kind of how you like to do it up for the holidays. Some people really like to go to really fancy gatherings and really dress up. Other people are all about, you know, that hashtag cozy life, all of that. But as we think about the garment requirements, it can start to get a little overwhelming. I mean, you think about, you know, wanting to look nice on all of these different holidays. Mm-hmm. What about Halloween? Halloween costumes, you want to talk about that for
a
second?
I'm not the most creative person out there. I definitely have friends who, you know, like making their own outfits from scratch. I don't know how to sew, of course.
You gotta get on that.
Yes, exactly. So I did have some numbers, and in 2019, consumers in the U.S. are expected to spend $8.8 billion on Halloween alone, which is about $86 per person, which sounds quite a lot, but we were discussing with Laura, and I'm like, I bought like two little items for my future Halloween costume, and it's already like over $20. That's not like, it's not even the main part of my costume.
Yeah, when she said that $86, I was like, that just seems like a lot, but you're right. If you're going to go in out and create a costume from scratch, you'd be lucky if you got out with $86, and that doesn't even take into account getting candy and things like that.
Yeah.
So, So what are some tips? Like, what can people do when we think about, like, a costume or really, like, the costume we have to put on for Christmas, maybe?
You know? So I think it was a great point about, you know, clothing swaps or just like, you know, renting stuff, borrowing stuff from your friends. Like that super creative friend of mine, you know, she has years of Halloween costumes in her apartment. So every one of our friends just kind of goes hang out with her before Halloween and just borrow something.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Find that person.
Yes,
I know
there's always that one person who is super amazing at Halloween costumes.
And they love Halloween.
They're that
person. That's awesome.
And then of course, you know, renting stuff and then consignment shopping.
Yes.
And another thing I was thinking about, since again I'm not the most creative person with the costumes, but I think it has been very helpful for me in terms of like thinking, okay, if I have to go and buy something for a costume, be it Halloween or any other occasion, or like just a dress up party, try to buy some pieces that are multifunctional.
Yep.
So it's not going to just work for this one costume this one year, but it can work for many different costumes if you combine them with other things.
Exactly. And the tip has been said before around shopping your own closet. I think it can be kind of fun. Like, of course, when we think about wanting to get dressed up for later, for Christmas, etc., go in your closet, see what you could do, add a statement necklace maybe to something that you might not have done before, change out the accessories. You can do the same for Halloween. Take a look and see what type of pieces you have. One outfit I heard the other day, Easy, was like monochromatic, like get with your friends, everybody dresses in like one color or something like that. I mean, you know, just fun things like that. That might not be the most creative thing ever. So if you're going to be a big Halloween person, I'm not going to rain on your parade. I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite that person either, but
there you want to talk about Halloween candies?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So in our Facebook group, actually, somebody asked about this. They said, how can I be ethical and sustainable when I'm giving away things for Halloween? And I was like, God, I mean, this is our job, and I didn't even think about that. Like, we were at Costco, which we did an episode on Costco shopping, but we should go more into it another time. But I was at Costco, and I just put in a big bag of candy in my cart, and I didn't think about it. But, you know, there are absolutely big questions around the supply chains relating to chocolate and cocoa. There's some really, some awful, practices at play. So, of course, you can buy fair trade chocolate products. Somebody on our group actually posted a link to one that she bought. But if that's not the case, then like we said, this is it's an evolving movement that you experience personally, with other people. So if you can't buy those ethical, alternatives to chocolate candy, then don't worry about it. I know a lot of people will give like apples or like, you know, they were that house.
That house with apples.
We see somebody like nodding their head, you're that house. But I mean, I think there's merit there too. Somebody also asked about like glow sticks. And I kind of had a reaction to that where I said, well, that to me is not great on a few counts. Like one, we're not 100% sure how that was produced. The other part is that plastic, so probably not the best option there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to the next one because we got a few things to get through. So let's talk about ethical eating.
Yeah.
So
Thanksgiving and eating around holidays. Laura is an expert more than me in ethical food and food prepping, and so maybe you can start.
I can get us started. The joke for me, anybody that knows me, I'm like a big life hacker / systems thinker, and I'm like really into creating weird spreadsheets and Airtable things, et cetera, et cetera. But I see food prep as one of those life hacks that I do. And so one of the things that we can talk about a little bit is, before I get into that solution, I want to give a statistic, because I know you're the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now I did some research, and it looks like people spend around $165 each on Thanksgiving in the United States. But curiously enough, around $70 of that goes to travel. So I don't know how many of you in the audience travel home to go to both Thanksgiving and Christmas, or what home means to you. I think San Francisco, like all big cities, is full of people from around the country and the world. So one of the things that my husband and I have decided to do, and really it started off just being a sort of like a save our sanity move, is we decided we did not want to go home for both of those holidays. So we kind of would, home for my husband and I is Texas, is Dallas, like I mentioned earlier. And for us, we just couldn't see, for Thanksgiving usually ends up being the one that that we don't go home for, because it's just a smaller amount of time. The airports are a bit more crowded. It's a little bit more crazy. So what we do is we actually throw a misfit Thanksgiving, is what we call it. And we invite our friends who also chose not to travel home. And we do a potluck style. So that was actually one of my recommendations around budgeting and money. I think it's really important to know that we should always be thinking about conserving our resources, whether that is materials. We should also think about conserving our money and being smart with our spending. Just because you're wanting to live ethically and sustainably does not mean you have to spend a ton of money. So one of my tips for both Thanksgiving and really any holiday party is make it potluck.
people will always ask you what they can bring, and it can be really helpful if you just put a Google Sheet together or some type of, you know, get a Facebook group or a WhatsApp group going and have people just chime in with what they want. You can make what they want to bring, sorry. You can actually make it easy for them by saying, okay, we need three sides. Who's going to sign up for the sides, et cetera. I think I love to bring things for potluck gatherings, but I do also love to know, like, what they're in need of, because otherwise you just end up bringing a bottle of wine and then the host has like 30 bottles of wine and like one thing of chips and salsa.
Yeah, good thing wine does not expire, right?
I know, but we
food,
love our wine.
Yeah, yeah. So with food, that's what I have my birthday coming up and I also want to make it potluck style. So I think it's helpful to be as organized as Laura and to tell people like how many people we are expecting. So as your friends are bringing food that they're making, let them know for how many people they should make. So there's not, again, too much food waste.
That's right. And on that topic, this is a little controversial, but let's try and not be flaky.
Ooh.
Let's actually let's make good on our invitations.
Yeah, I love that point that you made.
Yeah.
So, meaning that if you're committing to coming to a party, if you have to cancel, do it a couple of days or however, as much give the host as much time as possible to prepare again so they don't just overcook, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we all love, I think I read something on Twitter one time, it was like, I felt very seen. They were like, me after I canceled, plans for the day, and then they're just like luxuriating after they cancel those plans. It feels so good. Then you could just go home and watch Netflix. But it also really makes a difference in terms of the amount of food waste created. I can't tell you how many times I've thrown parties and expected X amount of people, and then ended up with a ton of leftovers. That's really hard for me and my husband to get through.
And
yeah,
I have an example from my favorite show, Office. It's like Michael Scott was talking about, it's like, you can't believe how much leftover guacamole I had to eat over the years. That's basically all of it, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, the last point I wanted to make around ethical eating was, you know, we did a podcast specifically on food waste, but there's of course many more vectors that we could dive into around, you know, when you're out shopping, please try and buy organic, organic food. I think it makes a really big difference to pay. I know we all kind of wince at the cash register, but pay that, you know, the extra cents per pound for like an organic, like ethically raised turkey. I think that's a really big consumer signal that can be sent. Mm-hmm. There's also, if you do some research, there's usually farms around where you are that will actually raise those turkeys locally. I'm looking at my husband right now, we're laughing. We have a bunch of turkeys that roam around our house in Oakland. We're not about to go out and get one of those. It would be kind of nice if we could. But yeah, I mean, there's always options for getting things locally and organic. You know, go to a farmer's market, mm-hmm. Make sure that you're supporting those local artisans, artisan farmers, really.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, buying food local is super important. And like, if we're talking about organic, like for me, I'm not an expert in organic food by far. One of the documentaries that I really enjoyed watching and taught me a lot about the food in food production in the U.S. is Food Inc.
Yes.
So if you haven't watched it, watch it. It will explain it better than I can.
Yeah, and there's another good one we've been getting into called Rotten on Netflix, where they specifically talk about different industries. So there's one around the wine industry. It just specifically talks about like how awful some of those supply chains are.
And I'll give a quick plug in to my favorite subscription company. It's called Imperfect Produce. So they buy excess produce or ugly produce, which is completely normal, from different suppliers. And you get it delivered to your door every week or as often as you like. So that's a great solution for kind of contributing to less food waste.
For sure. And if you use a meal planning app like Ends and Stems, we talked about that earlier, that type of creative thinking can help you figure out how to use what comes in that box. Because sometimes we get it, we're like, what is this? What's a rainbow chard?
Yeah, you need to customize.
What
otherwise, my
that?
Husband is like, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
What do I do with those vegetables?
And even exactly. If you don't, it could be crazy. I've seen if there's any other points we wanted to make about... Oh, the other point I wanted to, the last one around ethical eating and holiday travel specifically, is going back to that budget thing that we talked about earlier. So, don't feed into the pressure to throw this giant party, and don't feel like you have to do that more than once. Actually, so this is something that we're not familiar with over here, but I know over in the UK, they have, of course, Christmas Day, and then they have Boxing Day. And I read something that said that people in the UK are, on average, at least the equivalent of over $2,000 in debt coming out of the holiday season due to those parties themselves. And of course, the average American is in debt over $1,000 just due to the holidays in general. So let's try to, you know, conserve our monetary resources too, be creative, and then be creative when we talk about gifting, which we're going to talk about in just a second.
So
but I think that's the next
one, right? Yeah. So my favorite part, and I know Mavens will support me, that's shopping, right? We all love shopping. We are probably most of us already started buying gifts for holidays, if you're a planner. So we will talk about all things ethical shopping, ethical gift giving right now. So one of the numbers I wanted to share with you, and I did share it before a couple of years ago on our blog, but consumers in the U.S. alone spent over $700 billion during for holiday shopping. And holiday shopping is defined just 2 months, November and December. So it's $700 billion. I haven't done my math. I don't know how much it's per person, but it's a massive amount.
That's significant.
And, you know, obviously every single year we're spending more and more. And this year we are supposed to spend $731 billion. And that's according to National Retail Federation. And that's going back for me. It's like one of our favorite quotes is, every time you spend money, you're casting a vote for the kind of world you want to live in. It's really, if we take even 1% of this $700 billion and like put it towards sustainable products, ethical products, fair trade, it's going to make a massive, massive impact just because of the pure amount of how much we are spending on these things. So you want to start with some of the tips?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one tip we have is, you know, do your research. So in one of the panels earlier, we talked a little bit about how you can do that. I think a lot of you in the audience are wondering, you know, how do I know when a brand is ethical? There's a few different resources out there. One, to give Brightly a plug, we are coming out with an ethical brand directory. We're also going to try and take the cognitive load out of that for you. So what I mean is we'll do like top 10 brands by category. I think there's a lot of directories out there where there's just so many and you look at it and then you just, your eyes glaze over and you go, oh my gosh. There's other tools that also make this easy. There's something called, I think it's called Done Good. It's a browser extension that you can install in Chrome. It'll tell you whether or not the site that you're on, it'll tell you whether or not it's ethical. That's, of course, done on a variety of you know, criteria, and I always invite you to double check what that site's criteria is. So we're very transparent at Brightly about what we do. You can look that up.
Yeah. So Done Good, Good on You was another one mentioned before. Also, you can always start with a Fair Trade Federation site. That's Globin and our partners are members of. There's Fair Trade Certify. But again, there's so much information out there, so it's easy to get kind of overwhelmed with it. So with Brightly, we'll try to simplify it. And also, we created the Ethical Shopping Collective group on Facebook. Exactly, it's just to be kind of a one place where, you know, we can post all the holiday ethical shopping sales going on, all the brand directory and things like that.
For sure. And once you've done that research, then I think the next step is to, you know, you're going to talk more about the actual shopping, but make sure you share this with your friends and family. So, you know, once you shop, which Lisa will talk about in just a second, it's such an awesome opportunity when you're like under the tree, everybody's opening their presents, they see this beautiful, I think whenever I think of like the most beautiful ethical thing, I'm gonna give Globin a plug, they make these beautiful stemless wine glasses that everybody just like oohs and ahs when they see them. And they just, they offer, they're so beautiful that people first say, those are amazing, where did you get them? And that's your opportunity to just give a quick just overview as to like why that purchase matters. Same thing goes, like we were talking about eating earlier. If somebody tries to give you crap for like being a vegan or, you know, not necessarily wanting to eat as much meat that day, just say, you know what, like this is a lifestyle decision that I've made and here's why I've made it. Like see if you can come up with like a one sentence thing there and just use it as like an opportunity to educate and be positive too. Like nobody wants to be like, I don't know, shamed, but just say, hey, I'm personally really interested in this and by listening and, you know, listening to what I'm saying, you're supporting me. You're supporting me in what I'm doing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's super important. Like, let's not guilt anyone, but just talk about personally why you love these wine glasses so much, why you care about you know, fast, slow fashion and things like that.
Exactly.
So another point was, after you do your research about whether or not you're gifting, you know, apparel or just gift items or food items, find inspiration from influencers. Of course, there's brands like us out there, but there's also, we've met the influencers that you guys have heard talk before. There's so much information out there and inspiration for, like, ethical gifts. There's more and more now in, like, major publications. We have gifts that give back, gifts that, provide fair wages, and things like that. So.
And actually, one thing I want to cut in there with is, we'll probably get this question, I get it a lot, around influencers and disclosure. So I think it's something that's also worth noting that most of the websites out there, and, you know, also just website, resources, and also influencers on Instagram, a lot of them are compensated for these recommendations that they're doing. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. It does help people keep the lights on, but I do think it's really important. I used to always go Google, like, gift guides, etc., but try and have a critical lens there a little bit and understand, like, why the person is recommending something to you. I think it's really easy to just be like one-stop shop. I love what this person looks, their looks that they create. It's great, but just see if you can find a little bit of information about why they're recommending things, because you would be surprised at the amount of things that are, like, pay to play, where they charge brands exorbitant amounts of money. I'm thinking of one particularly that tried to get, like, over $2,000 from me once, just to be in a gift guide. So just think about that.
Yeah. If we're talking about apparel, I think we already mentioned, like, definitely watch True Cost. It's an amazingly well done documentary. It's on Netflix, so it's great.
And recommend it to people, right?
Yeah, recommend
maybe
it to people.
Maybe not screen it at Thanksgiving. That'd be a little bit. No, but
don't screen it.
Maybe recommend it to people. Yeah.
And then one of my favorite ethical, like, fashion tips is the 30 wear rule. Anybody familiar with that? Awesome. Some people are. And so 30 wear rule is basically, if you are buying a new fashion piece, apparel piece, just try to think about, will you wear it over the product's lifetime at least 30 times? Just be honest with it. Do you need this, like, beautiful bright red dress? Are you gonna wear it for 30 times or no?
Yeah.
If not, maybe try to rent it or find a consignment option.
Yeah.
That has been super helpful for me. I'm not a big fashion shopper, but it has been very helpful.
You could also use that as something to evaluate when you're giving a gift to somebody. So, is this gift gonna be worn 30 times by the recipient, or is it some silly joke beanie that I think is funny?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's keep moving. We're going to talk about self-care. Let's talk about this in the end. Talk about self-care.
Yeah, so the point we wanted to make, thinking back to this theme of the madness and trying to keep a bit of sanity for yourself, like we said at the beginning, less is more. So less is more should kind of be, that's a mantra I'm going to try and use this holiday season. And so again, like if you specifically feel like you're overwhelmed with the amount of parties that you have to go to, remember I always said, don't be flaky. See if you take a look at your calendar, there's a lot, like take some off, hopefully you have enough time to get that back to somebody in an appropriate amount of time, but take that off. Use support groups. Lisa's mentioned our Facebook group. We also will have more community type events coming from Brightly, and also opportunities to connect with people on the Brightly platform. So if you're not signed up for our wait list, please do. It's at brightly.eco. But yes, find your support groups, find people that have your values, and just lean on them, because I think sometimes we all feel like we're a bit crazy when we go home and have to deal with family anyway. So you're probably going to have that support group set up. So you can talk about that too.
All right, and now on to our last point about kind of going don't forget self-care, and gifting experiences, right? So holidays is all about giving back, about celebrating, spending time with your loved ones. So we wanted to talk about the importance of gifting experience, maybe instead of gifting things, and also maybe even donating and contributing to the causes. And always think about that, let's not just give stuff, personalized gifts are always better than just stuff.
Yes,
right?
And I can remember a few years ago, I gifted my in-laws I think it was through Viator or Groupon. Some of those aggregator sites have some really interesting experiences that you can gift people. I think Airbnb just launched something called Airbnb Experiences. Yep. I got a fun ad for that on my Facebook feed. But yeah, so anyway, I gifted them, I think it was like a dinner and a sunset flight. Is that what it was? Yeah. And they are the type of people that don't do a lot of out-of-the-box things like that. And so I remember when they opened the present, they kind of had been like, what? Like, you're going to send me on an airplane? Like, what is this? And so they were kind of hesitant. And so we kept reminding them. And I think it took them a few months to cash that in. But the pictures that we had from them and, like, that experience that they did, like, I am so glad that we, like, kind of nudged them into doing that. But it was such a memorable experience for them. And I think my mom's always good about gifting me a cooking class. And so she'll look up various cooking schools in the area. We got to do a Thai one time, which was super fun. So yeah, I mean, I think that it's just, you can give someone a really interesting memory that way.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like my last point, if you are really would like, you or your friend have a specific cause that you're passionate about, definitely consider, instead of giving products, gift a donation on your friend's behalf, on your family member's behalf. But talking about, you know, gift giving and giving back, donating to charity, we have a few resources that you should be checking out when you're considering a charity to donate to, because not all charities are equal. Some of the great research places for best charities is called Charity Navigator. There's also Charity Watch and Give Well. This is a website that basically, they're kind of like third-party organizations that rank different charities on different factors. You know, their overhead cost is one thing, but it's not really important. It's like how exactly the charity is contributing to a different cause. Is the solution truly sustainable? Because not any given social problem is solved with just money or giving back or in-kind donations.
Exactly.
So this is a great resource if you are looking for charities to support.
Yeah, the other one I want to throw out there is Kiva. So Kiva.org. I think a lot of people have heard of Kiva, but it allows you to gift microloans to entrepreneurs in various parts of the world, and that can really help start a chain reaction of progress and prosperity in different regions. So highly recommend that. Kiva, and I'm not 100% sure about the other ones we talked about, but there are gift cards available to those things. And that's the other thing we forgot to mention was
gift cards.
And so I've also noticed a few different stores lately allowing you to like e-gift things to people, which is kind of cool. So it's almost like a even more personalized than a gift card. You could see, okay, I'm on a specific site. I see that there's a handbag that I know Lisa might like, but I'm not 100% sure if she really needs it or wants it or what color she wants. So some sites have like a little plug-in that says e-gift, where it basically just acts like a gift card and you can get it delivered on Christmas Day. My family's always been pretty big into doing gift cards, and if for some reason you want to make it more personal, that site doesn't have that e-gift capability, what our family likes to do is we'll just print it out, and actually they'll print out like an idea. So they're like, oh, look, here's a picture of like this tote that I thought you might like then you can go buy it. So it looks like a little bit more thoughtful. I think gift cards have a bad rap of people just thinking you're at the checkout line and you're like, crap, I forgot to buy a gift from Uncle Joe, let's give him Home Depot or something.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as creative, but it's actually more sustainable. Globin.com, we have gift cards, e-gift cards.
I think most places have gift cards,
exactly.
Now, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into questions.
Yeah, so
Q&A.
Let's get into questions. So Lise and I will like repeat the question back into here, but does anybody have anything they want us to go into? Yeah, right there. So the question was, if you've got a big family or you have children, or how do you get a big group of people, your loved ones, on board to living more ethically and sustainably? So one tip that I have my extended family is rather large in Texas, and we actually started to do a white elephant. So rather than everybody having to buy a gift for every single person, we made a decision where we were going to come together, and everyone was going to, I think our limit is usually $25. You can, you know, make that lower or higher based on what your family wants to do. And we try and make them things that are relatively unisex and fun, so like board games or things like that. Also experiences, I think, work really well for that too. I think sometimes for kids, people still like to do toys and things like that. So that's fine. But that's one tip that I have. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else you can add?
My family is tiny, so not really. But I think it's like when you have children, it's much easier to justify everything. It's like it's an educational opportunity. Let's teach our children, you know, how things will be.
Well, it's easier said than done. But
probably. But yeah, I think it's probably easier to get grandparents and parents to get on board.
For sure.
With that.
And I also think
that's for the kids.
One thing that we're kicking around, we'll probably put in an email newsletter, but coming up with like conversation topics, like conversation starters to kind of, or even answers for you to give to people. So like if you try to start a topic, like what are some interesting talking points you could talk to about people that are not overly political or overly polarizing? Because that always ends up being an issue. My family doesn't necessarily share my politics. And so I'm oftentimes like left wondering what in the heck do I talk about with people? And there are different aspects of the ethical sustainable movement that I think most people can get around,
like
you know,
the
get excited about.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. So anyway, I think it's something that has to be taken, you know, obviously based on what your family likes to do.
Any other questions? No? All right. You want to do the activity now?
Okay. I think, let me see, make sure we didn't miss anything. No. So, okay, that's going to conclude the podcast. I'm going to stop recording. But thank you guys so much for joining us on the podcast. This will come out in the next few weeks.
Yay.
We're super excited. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.